Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber, StuWeb.com, and it is July the 26th, and it's Tuesday, 2022, and I have the honor to have on Professor James Fetzer and Professor Joel. But before I get them on and bring them up, I just want to add a few things. If you haven't seen the link that says Silverado Savings Drug Money, BlackRock, how they took over the U.S. Treasury, you need to look at that video. Now, that was sent to me from a friend in the CIA, whose former CIA put that thing together. And I got an actual artificial intelligence robot 15 years ago doing tradings all over the world, sitting there 24/7 outperforming man and stealing the economy of the United States. Now, they're the largest bank in the United States, and it's BlackRock, Blackstone, who took over the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury underneath Trump. That's one thing I want to bring up, because you want to see that video and see how far advanced they are in what they do. And the same people that control that, by the way, out of Denver, are the same people that control HSBC Bank, Hong Kong Shanghai Bank Corp, the world's largest bank, and that's the boys, Larry Mizell and Brownstein, and the crowd in Denver. Now, that is the Jewish crime syndicate in America. And it was Daddy Bush's partner. And they had, remember, Silverado, Neil Bush director, where Daddy Bush was president of the United States, because that caused a friggin' scandal. Congressional investigations, they didn't like that. Anyway, there's several subjects that also, you might look at the power of these people. A Donald Trump supporter, because we're going to be talking about it probably here in a few minutes. Donald Trump supporter, who was a secretary, or she ran for Secretary of State to clean it up, because, you know, they're in charge of elections. And corporations, etc., illegal corps like they had. But the thing is she was a county auditor, or not auditor, but the one in charge over in Mesa County. And the story's up there. Her name's Peters. And she is being illegally targeted and illegally prosecuted for doing a recount for the votes in her district over in Mesa County. And she got prosecuted illegally. But what they're doing is they're targeting people that all over the place. And I did a show a couple of days ago with Debbie Davis. It's under the radio bar. And we talked for 2 hours. We talked about whistleblowers and targeting of individuals. She's quite aware because she's being stopped consistently. Whistleblower. National Guard and John McCain, body parts and children trafficking and missiles and guns and toys and drugs and everything else, and John McCain was in charge while he was shipping through his company, his wife's company, beer company, not only beer and water to troops in Afghanistan, but the chemicals needed for their supposed dry cleaning plant over there. In war zones, you don't have dry cleaning plants, folks. You clean your own laundry. But on that said, I want to touch on January 6th, just real quick, that I'm aware that there's 70 infiltrators. These are FBI, January the 6th infiltrators, all the BLMs and the Antifas and all the others that the FBI is aware of, the CIA is aware of, Homeland Security is aware of, everybody's aware of, including the committee itself that's holding these hearings, the Cheney witch, the lesbian known Cheney, whose father, the former Hal Burton, make a fortune, Daddy Bush stooge, you know, that he's still on his pacemaker, still kicking the whole bit. And she's a, you know, he abused her as a child. Oh, you know, but she was over at the State Department stealing all this money. Because at the State Department, that's what you use for. They set up corporations, the people that are working there, and they're set up for the Bush crowd and the others. So someone wants to buy oil drilling equipment at $1.5 million the manufacturer here in the United States is willing to sell it for. But oh no, they have a tariff price or whatever they call it that they put on that corporation and collect an extra $1 million so they're filling their pocket. She was doing that illegally at the State Department. Now she's a so-called senator or congresswoman from Wyoming where Dickie Boy lives. Hey, folks, these people are unbelievable what they're doing to the people who rioted, truly rioted, on January the 6th. Now, yeah, there's a few people that rioted, and they got out of control and out of hand. And well, I'm not going to argue about some of them, and their charges severe, but they should have been much lighter, a few. But 70 infiltrators were the ones breaking out the windows, taking care of the cops, and here the FBI and the CIA and our government has all this information, but they're not talking about it. What they're doing is coming after good, honest people. People are speaking the truth, just like Donald Trump and his associates. Because why? They did steal the election. And it was Dominion. And who was Dominion formed by? The boys in Denver, Colorado. Who controls Dominion now? You can look on my website, see Dominion software, a picture, click on the link, and it shows you right from the Secretary of State's office evidence showing who it goes to. It goes to a business that is controlled by one of the Walton daughters, Sam Walton, that was involved in drug trafficking with Bush and Milman and Iran-Contra, still goes on today, including involving Walmarts, but it goes to a trust that is her trust, his daughter's trust. It goes there. She's in control of Dominion now. But the attorneys who originally formed is a Brownstein, Norman Brownstein, one of six CIA counsel to Daddy Bush when he's CIA director. That's how deep this goes, folks. Now, look at the robot. Silverado Saving Loan Robot, there's a reason I'm speaking this. You'll see how far advanced they are. You wonder where your pension funds went in. The robot got them. Over the past 10 to 15 years, all pension funds have been disappearing. They've been stealing them, and they control through Fidelity, and Brownstein does, almost 50% of the pension funds today, and the others through Great West Life and Larry Mizell in Denver, both of them. They were law partners in 72 coming out of law school, and Leonard Milman hired him, and Daddy Bush takes one of them to CIA counsel 3 years later, and Bill Barr was underneath him. Now, that shows how tight this group is. But that isn't the only group. There's 12 of these disciples of Satan, they call them, here on the planet. They're the 12 rulers, basically, that are controlling the economies of the world, up around 95 to 98% of the economy. They allow enough a free enterprise yet, so they're not totally recognized. These are the same people they're trying to destroy us with HARP, weather wars, burning out fire, causing fires every place, drying us out, and all the other stuff. Like Mead, Joel sent me a link. I haven't seen that one yet, but my God, what's going on everywhere is enormous. And now they've cranked it up in the Midwest for the big storms over the next few days. They have tornadoes to get their activity, like blowing away Springfield or Joplin, Missouri. 8 out of 10 people never were found. And the same way down there in Florida, when they hit the coast down there, that was all HARP-related storms. We're having that. We're being attacked. But we're being attacked by an entity as opposite of what we are. But we're going to allow Professor Joel to come up first, because I wanted to mention this, because it ties in with what I said in a lot of ways. Instead of the main controllers, this is what's going on underneath it, and people have talked about this. Now, Joel and I had a conversation before the show, so I'm just going to sit back and let Joel explain to everybody. And Jim, then we want your reports. And I mean, you got some heavy duty stuff you're going to talk about, and mainly three big items, and of course Grassley, and you're going to talk about this military stuff going on. And the infiltration, but it's very important, everybody listen to the show. Joe, would you pick it up on Klaus Schwab, Otis Johnson, Ed Slade, Preston James, John Coleman?
I'll just leave it at Klaus Schwab, but we must really bring Jim Fetzer and get his report, because it's extensive and more important than what I have to say. Let's just leave it out there.
Okay, why don't we do it at the end then, you and I, and Jim, give us your report.
Well, Stu, you're certainly on the right track, but it appears to be even worse. We, of course, already had reports that the Capitol Police had been warned the day before the 5th of January that BLM was going to infiltrate. We know from James, the brother of John Sullivan, Antifa leader, that John led 226 Antifa members dressed as Trump supporters into the Capitol to stir up trouble. Billy Weaver was particularly good at tracking him down and even taping and nailing him the very day of the event. We know that the FBI was infiltrating, just as you are observing, and were among the agents provocateur, of whom there are dozens, who have been photographed and identified but have never been prosecuted. They've never been pursued because they appear to have been working for the FBI. One is crowd was recognizing and calling out, Fit, 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 Fit. Ray Epps was encouraging everyone to be very aggressive at the Capitol, and guess what? Surprise, surprise. Ray Epps Live works for our Dominion voting machine. And remember, the timing of this was all calculated to disrupt not the count of the electoral vote, but evidence of the theft of the election. That's why Pelosi and Mayor Bowser and Chuck Schumer wanted this to happen. And bear in mind, bear in mind, Donald Trump had offered to provide up to 20,000 National Guard troops 2 days earlier on the 4th. In order for that to happen, however, there had to be a request from the appropriate authority, in this case, Mayor Bowser, who declined the offer because they already had their game plan in place and they didn't want National Guard troops to maintain law and order because they wanted to secure the precisely the opposite. We have a raft of footage showing the Capitol Police letting the protesters into the Capitol, and a key point. There are massive doors in the Capitol building that are magnetically locked. It is impossible to open those doors externally. They can only have been opened from the inside, which further confirms that this was a psyop. This was intended to trash Trump, and Trump supporters make him out to be domestic terrorists when Trump basically had nothing to do with this. He had held a rally at the Ellipse a mile and a half away. But he was speaking until 1:11, when for reasons unknown, the sound system went off and no one was able to speak after him. That appears to me to have been part of the psyops, because then the Trump supporters had nothing to do, nowhere to go, and Trump did say, raise your voice in protest, but be peaceful about it, be peaceful about it. There was never any foundation for incitement of insurrection on any basis whatsoever. It's all fabricated. But the Democrats have nothing to sustain themselves for November, where they're anticipating a calamitous wipeout that will effectively nullify the Democrat Party, eviscerate it. It will no longer exist as we know it today after the November midterms, where they're trying to use January 6th as a wedge and abortion, the nullification of Roe v. Wade, by sending it back to the state. And the Supreme Court ruling completely proper that says you do not have to have a special permit to conceal carry because it's guaranteed by the Second Amendment of the United States. Three rulings that appear to me to be highly constitutional. But where the Democrats are going so far now is to suggest they want to either pack the court so they can get more Democrats on the court, or reduce a lifetime appointment to a 10-year term, whatever. I mean, it's outrageous. The Democrats are spoiled little brats. They have a temper tantrum if things don't go their way, and they're engaged in a massive, overwhelming psyop in this regard. Stu, you're on the right track.
Now, Jim, you mentioned Pelosi, you mentioned Schumer, and who was the third one, the main leaders?
Say again?
You mentioned Chuck, in the beginning, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi.
Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer.
Okay,
sure.
Real quick, Chuck Schumer, if you punch in on stuweb.com search box, punch in Boulder Properties Limited, should pop up. It's in Al Martin's book, The Conspirators, how Chuck Schumer was blackmailed, because he was part of the blackmailing of Chuck Schumer with Boulder Properties Limited. And then later they created it, and it was all tied to the crowd in Denver, once again, to the control box. It was what it was called, control file. And then Nancy Pelosi got paid off with a winery, a farm winery, grapes, all the stuff to make wine with out there in California. And it was set up in a trust in her husband's name. And along with it, over the years, she's got paid with Disney stock into the trust. That is her payoff and bribes. And that was the Leonard Millman, once again, crowd, Denver, because he bought out ABC, Mickey Mouse, when Daddy Bush bought out one of the other studios, and he bought CBS, and then the Brofmans, they bought the other network, the main network. That was all done in the early 90s, folks. Anyway, with that said, Jim, there's two of your culprits right there, their main ringleaders. They're committing treason and sedition, in my opinion, against the American people and the Constitution and our form of government, a republic, not a democracy, okay, as they stage it to be. And we're going to have to cure the problem one of these days. But there's two bribes. Hey, federal agents, you listening, just dig on those two things. Disney stock, the winery, on Pelosi, and dig on what's called Boulder Properties Limited. It's Al Martin's book, The Conspirators. Go ahead, Jim. Yes.
So there's a whole other level to this that's now emerging, to it. There's evidence that General Milley, that the U.S. Army was actually involved in January 6th as well, which may have broken the law, because here you have the military acting to fulfill a police function, which is precluded by the Posse Comitatus Act. That is not permissible under U.S. 18 U.S. Code 1385. Of Army, Navy, Marine Corps, Air Forces, Space Forces, Posse Comitatus. That is forbidden. Forget this. Adam Schiff, who's of course a prominent member of the January 6th Committee, has stuck that amendment into the National Defense Authorization Act.
Israeli.
That will prohibit any evidence collected in violation, or I would say about violation, of the Posse Comitatus Act from being used in investigation. Why did he do that? It appears that the Department of Justice was involved in secret planning with the Department of Defense that to have the military involved in January 6th. If the military engaged any civilian law enforcement activity, including surveillance or intelligence collection, before or during January 6th, would represent an egregious violation of the military code of conduct and federal law. Under the Posse Comitatus Act, military personnel cannot be used as local cops or investigators. Laws both vague and specific at the same time, which brings us to Representative Schiff. Irrefutably, the least trustworthy member of Congress, Schiff tucked an amendment into the Demancy National Defense Authorization Act that would prohibit any evidence collected in violation of the Posse Comitatus Act from being used in a number of proceedings, including criminal trials and congressional investigations. The amendment's timing, like everything else related to the infamous Russian collusion, huckster, evidence forger, and nude photo seeker, to name a few of Schiff's special talents, is highly suspect. Why would Schiff need to outlaw evidence collected unlawfully? Why is Schiff relying on this relatively arcane statute passed during Reconstruction that is rarely, if ever, enforced? But Julie Kelly has tweeted, "Holy shit, this is from DODIG report on January 6th. The Department of Justice supposedly was the lead agency, but in reality it was the Department of Defense. And it looks as though Billy ran the show." Or, this explains the Schiff amendment. If the Pentagon was involved in domestic law enforcement, including surveillance and intelligence collection, they broke the law. All signs point to deep involvement by military working with DOG before January 6th, and I would add on January 6th. Wow.
Now, let me add something here, if I may, because I think it's important. A couple items here, Jim. That, remember, there was a Secretary of Defense who ended his term when Trump ended the White House president. Now, that Secretary of Defense was the one running Milley, or whatever his name is, this general. And they're all corrupt at the very top. And I'll explain what Otis Johnson told me one time. He said, here I'll explain. He said, super spooky, he said, if we ever have an uprising of the American people, he said 80% of the military will stand behind the people, and he said the upper echelon will be taken to the trees by the military itself. Now, that's about where we're at today. That's how much control they have. But the Secretary of Defense, at the time that the Black Lives Matter, BLM they're referred to as, were burning the cities up there, where was it? Seattle and the other stuff here a while back? And looting, robbing and looting the whole cities and tearing them up, and the whole bit went on in several cities. And he sent in, Trump ordered the Secretary of Defense to send in the National Guard to put a stop to it. And he refused his orders, Jim. It was on national news.
I want Joel's comments here on what's going on. I think these are major stories, and he's going to have things to say for sure.
Well, everything that the you're saying, Jim, is just right on target, because I remember when the riots were going, I don't want to say riot, but when the protests were going on, they took videos of guys that were dressed in black, they got off a white bus, and they went over and were interviewed. And they said, yeah, we're from Antifa, but we're posing right now as Trumpers. Right then and there. I watched it and witnessed it myself. But these guys were the antagonists. These guys were the provocateurs. And you could see that the police officers, the Capitol Police, getting the crowd, headed down towards the Capitol steps. And then you could see them directing them to go out there and through the doors. And then they opened the doors, just like you said. The magnetic doors would stop anything. How did them get open? They were open because it was planned to be this way. And there are the videos out there of the interview of the Antifa people that were posing as Trumpers. And what's interesting about all of this is, as Banyan says, the court procedures were not followed. He couldn't cross-examine. How can you do that? Comment on that, Jim, about no cross-examination.
So, of course, the whole thing is just a total sham. I mean, there's been no question about it from the beginning. Once Nancy Pelosi declined to allow Kevin McCarthy to appoint two Jims to the committee who would have ripped up a new one. There's no minority counsel. There's no cross-examination. The whole thing is a total sham. And, of course, it's been a ratings loss. Practically no one's been watching. At one point, NBC even switched over to Galt, which is a rich white man's game, because there was so little interest in the hearings. So they're going to play it out. But it's all a fantasy. It's all purely political theater, and it's a disgrace. No one cares. Everyone knows this is a sham, and I think they're going to get very little mileage out of it. Indeed, I believe we're reaching the point where it's going to begin to backfire.
No.
This won't be just neutral. It's going to be a net negative for the Democrats.
Now, there's the thing. It's called no justice in America, I call it. It's a fact. It's unbelievable what these courts are doing on their own. Now, Jim, you've had that. You couldn't even present your evidence on Sandy Hook or anything, and now you're finally worked it up to the Supreme Court, but you had to do it yourself. These people are preventing me right here in Jackson County, Missouri, from even doing anything. I had to plead guilty on this little troll that ran into me that was a tail, and they called the police and pointed a gun at her. I didn't have a gun. They didn't find a gun. I had to plead guilty, a few months back, to these bullshit charges to keep from being sent to a hospital in Jefferson City, Missouri, to be locked up in a hospital so they give me shots and be psychoanalyzed and the whole bit to say they said that I was incompetent to represent myself or even to be a witness for myself, as though I'm crazy. I said, Jesus Christ, plead guilty to that, blow this fucking shit off. Well, I had to. So there wasn't any justice in that case. Okay? Now, I'm being kicked out of, folks, Section 8 housing, low-income housing, because that car crash, Rover, attempted murder, three car crashes, two of them attempted murder in 1 year, 2010 to 2011. Proof and evidence is up there where you see the van laying on the concrete barrier. That was my head underneath there. Broke my neck. Put me in low-income housing later. And Social Security disability 4 years later. Now, they're kicking me out of here. And they're using manic depressants. One thing about low-income housing, I never knew this, but it's full of manic depressants, declared manic depressants. Bipolar, they're supposed to be taking one or two drugs. One of them is called lithium. And if they don't take it, they're not balanced mentally. And I'm in here with a bunch of 60 to 80-year-old lithium freaks that don't take their medication. And all of a sudden, I became their enemy for cutting down some trees directly behind me with the neighbor's permission that were dropping copperhead snakes out of it after it was running up there, either getting a bird or a squirrel, and it dropped 3-4 stories out of the tree within 10 feet of my patio. I had it happen. Neighbor had it happen. We had a mountain lion running through here. So I cut a couple of holes in there with neighbor, I mean, with a friend of mine, did it super cheap for me because I don't have any money. And I can't cut like I used to and all the other shit because of my back. So they decide they're going to get rid of me. They're going to make me homeless, they think. Okay? This is how bad it is. So I got an order against me to move out by Saturday night, supposedly. And I, yeah, believe me, I'm entitled to legal aid. I'll be seeing them today or tomorrow, probably today. Here's the whole point. Is they did it without notifying me there was a hearing. Look at what they did to Steve Bannon in court over there. Look at what they've done to Jim Fetzer. You can't present your evidence. You can't even be notified there's a court hearing with me. I mean, this is how bad it is in America called justice. Who's that for? All one-sided. The people that are in control right now in the United States Congress and Senate and the President of the United States, Vice President, everybody's fucking corrupt to the hilt. And we, the American people, are going to have to figure that out soon, that we are going to have a big problem. And I believe we're going to have a big World War III happen before this is over with, the way everything is laid up. What's your opinion of that, Jim Fetzer and Joel?
Go ahead. I want Joel to get a chance here.
Joel?
Well, for me, the whole issue is it's part of a program. In other words, to disenfranchise people in the United States. As Klaus Schwab has said, in the end, you will have nothing. You will own nothing. Meaning, you will see the backbone of the American public, which is your own property. And it's being taken away in a very subtle way, which is Vanguard and one other equity group will come in with their realtors, make an offer on a house, say like for $250,000, they'll offer you $350,000. What that does is that it increases the price of the house, and it gets to the point to where the people can't pay the property tax, and they have to sell.
Now, Vanguard's one of them. Who's the other one, Joe?
I think it's BlackRock.
You got it. Yeah. The one that I got the story up on, Silverado and the robot. Take a look, folks.
So this is a continuing thing, and it expands itself. And Jim, did you watch yesterday where Dr. Burke said that we knew from the beginning that the vaccines did not work? Dr. Burke said this.
They also
vaccines do not work.
The second,
and you have all of these people who have had physical breakdowns. Some people have died, and you've had all of these injuries that are happening to people. But yet, Burke said, "We knew. I knew that the vaccines would not work."
I may add, the speaker for the White House, she came out, the Black House, she says, for Biden and all, she says that we know that everybody at one time will contract COVID virus on the planet.
So now there is one other point that I wanted to bring up, and that is the condition of the West. And for those people that want to get a better understanding, go to geowatchengineering.org, and Dean Wingington, he's been doing a good job on presenting what is happening to weather modification. And right now, the Southwest is going to be, is really right now, in dire straits, because the Colorado River, which is the main source of power and water for the Southwest, including Southern California, is evaporating because there's no rain. And the water in Lake Mead is getting down to the point of where it's stagnant. It won't flow. That, in other words, there's no water to keep turn the turbine, which produces the electricity. And this goes all the way over to Los Angeles, goes out to southwestern Colorado, Arizona, New Mexico, Nevada, and there's going to be some real problems. As the administrators are saying, 1 year from now, things don't change, the choice will either be water or no electricity. Can't have both. So there are some real problems that are coming along the line, and it is, again, the manipulation of everything. And as Josh Schwab has said, you will own nothing, and you will eat bugs and insects for your food.
What do we? Now, Klaus Schwab, Joe, Klaus Schwab is a dangerous cat and gator that represents all these really evil, that's all they are, is evil people running the planet. Would that be a wise statement to make?
These are your big globalists that their new form instead of the Bilderbergs that is called the World
Economic Forum.
Yeah, the World Economic Forum. And so Schwab is their spokesman. And they all worship this Noah Harari, who is supposed to be this big intellectual philosopher that is conducting their mantra, their theme. And so you're seeing what Jim would know and Stu would know, and I would know as the New World Order. And it's here now, and it's a really frightening thing. So go ahead, Jim.
Well, there's another major story I want to share, which is that the Senator Grassley reports that DOJ whistleblowers approached him to blow the lid on a scheme among FBI officials to bury negative information about Hunter Biden. Surprise, surprise. Just as James Comey buried all the information from the Wiener laptop about Hillary's involvement in pedophile activities, but also Russiagate, Christopher Wray has served a similar function with regard to the Hunter Biden laptop. So now we have a whistleblower coming forward about how this information was all downplayed ahead of the 2020 election, that the scheme was to undermine derogatory information connected to Hunter by falsely flagging it as disinformation. Again, no doubt, of course, from Russian sources. But Grassley is a particularly serious guy, ranking member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, which oversees both the FBI and the Department of Justice. I'm therefore very heartened by this. With a huge amount of salacious activity on the Hunter Biden laptop, including, may I add, videos of him engaged in lurid activities, in one of which, for example, he's engaging in sex with two nubile young women. And there's a small white dog on the bed. These appear to be the alleged Obama children. But because Michelle was born Michael Yvonne Robinson, played football for Oregon State, adopted a female persona when she transferred to Princeton and began calling herself Michelle Robinson. So we have photographs of her and Barack with what looks like a young Bill Gates, and it's obvious she's flat-chested as any man would be. But where we now know from a physician who was attending her during a campaign, walked in on her taking a leak standing up in a trailer near Trenton, New Jersey, he's revealed that Michelle Obama is not a man who underwent a sex change operation, but instead a man with breast implants and a huge shaving bill. We have photographs of Michelle letting her beard grow after Obama was no longer president. We have videos of her dancing on Ellen DeGeneres and other photographs that show she has a package that most women do not have. We have back-to-back comparison of her alongside of Mike Tyson, and her back is broader and heavier than Mike Tyson, heavyweight champion of the world. Joe Rivers, of course, has a the cat out of the bag when she was questioned by a reporter. Now, if we have the first black president, are we going to have a first gay president? And she replied, well, you know, we already do with Obama. And, of course, Michelle is a tranny. He asked, what do you mean? Michelle's a transgender, we all know. This is completely outrageous. And I emphasize this point, and I have on many occasions, because I believe they are planning to run Michelle Obama for president of the United States in 2024 on the Democrat ticket. And if you want to vote for a man with breast implants and a huge shaving bill, I have no problem with that. But you need to know what you're getting. The Democrats have been playing too many games. They gave us a completely demented Joe Biden, a completely incompetent Kamala Harris. And they are swindling the American people and destroying America. And believe it or not, there's some people who still think they are doing a good job.
Joe, what do you have to say?
Well, that's about it. I think we've covered a lot with what Jim has said, and we'll see what happens.
Oh, Jim, I know you had a bunch of stuff to do, and I want to touch on Klaus Schwab with Joel for a few minutes. So if you want to say goodbye to the audience, give out your website and all that. Otherwise, hang around and hear what he has to say. It ties into the world.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. That's excellent. Yes. Everyone can check out my blog at jamesfenster.org or my video archive at BitChute channel Jim Fenster. And Stu, it's always a pleasure to join you and Joel for these special reports.
I thank you very much. And with that said, Joe, do you want to continue for a minute about Klaus Schwab and really what's going on in the bigger picture of the world?
Yeah, all right, okay.
Go ahead.
All right. Remember, Klaus Schwab is a spokesperson. He is not a leader. He is a spokesperson. It is an entire network. And this is where it comes in with what Stu will, that from his experience with what we would call the fallen, as termed him by Otis Johnson. And as Otis Johnson said, verified by Stu, that the fallen angel possessed Leonard Melvin. What was it, Leonard Melvin? When Leonard Melvin died, he went over and possessed Larry Mizell. So around Klaus Schwab are people that in their genetic makeup can be possessed by these fallen angel aliens. In other words, they have to have the DNA makeup that will allow that to happen. And around Klaus Schwab and Noah Harari, there is the Gorilla family. And they are just one of the families. And they are what we would call Sephardic Hebrews. They are not Sephardic Jews. They are Sephardic Hebrews. But in other words, they have true Hebrew blood in them. However, they can trace their ancestry, the Sephardic Hebrews, that going back way back to the time of Jesus. However, these Sephardics are also part of a group that came out of Edom. And Edom comes out of Esau. And Esau kept engaging in these local women who were practitioners of human sacrifice. In other words, they were what you would call totems for the fallen angel aliens. And they produced a group of people that eventually made their way into Jerusalem and some of the other cities, and it became, and including the Greek influence, became known as Edomians. And these people are the ones that have the ability, that is, the genetic makeup to be possessed by these foreign and aliens. And it's an important concept. It's difficult to catch on to it, but since it is verified by Stu's experience, because the guy that told him all about this was Otis Johnson. And so, with this, this is coming down all the way down to modern times. And what happens is you have this elite group of, because Khazars, and here we have to go in, and I encourage everybody to go back to Veterans Today, look up some of the writings on Preston James, because he had commented in his early writings the influence of the fallen angel on the Khazars. Now remember, the Khazars are the people that come out of around the Caspian Sea and became known as Jews. And the word Jew is nothing more than a German lowland word using Hebrew characters or letters, and came up with the word Jew. So the Khazars are really not related to the original Hebrews, like the Sephardics. So, and by the way, the Sephardics and the Khazars really don't get along. So, what you have here is you have a group of people that have a DNA that is allowing their leaders to be possessed, like Leonard Melman and Larry Mizell. Another good example of that is what Ed Slade said to Stu when he was down in Mexico with the W-118 that turned into a UFO, this being that was around 7 or 8 feet tall, according to what Ed said, told them. They also created the Aztec. That is why the Aztec had human sacrifice. There was so much sacrifice at the Pyramid of the Moon, Pyramid of the Sun, that the walls were thick, 6 inches thick with blood. And the reason for that is these fallen angel aliens, because they are fallen, have cut off themselves from God, and God is the life of everything. So they have to make up for that deficit by having blood sacrifices, because in the blood is the life. And so you have sacrifices that have been going on for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And so you get people like Hillary Clinton, you get like Obama, that like all of these other elites, the Clintons, and of course, Papa Bush himself was possessed. He manifested himself as an alien to Kathy O'Brien. So there is where the real issue, the real motivating force behind all of this that Klaus Schwab represent are these possessed Jews that are possessed by the fallen angel alien. No. And John Coleman is the guy that identified it as the Committee of 300. These 300 rabbis that have a neurological, biological DNA that allows for this possession. So there you have it. And take a look at Preston James.
You met John Coleman down there in Arizona, and you spoke to him, and I met him over in Ohio and spoke to him. And he had a good book about this, and it was Committee 300, I think it was. But he identified, I think he was one of the ones, and there was a colonel, a former colonel that identified that was tied to the Hunt brothers. And I forgot his name, but he had a lot of stuff out there that was showing the Council of Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, and the different groups that, if you take a look at them, they got websites, and you look at their directors of the past and current directors, and you look at the who was in the military and who was in the government, you'll see some very interesting names, folks. This is what's out here today that represents and is trying to tell you and dictate to you what it is. As Otis Johnson Super Spook, only 300 ever developed since World War II by the U.S. government arsenal. They dissected his brain. That was part of the condition. But he had been a CIA, he'd been Air Force Intelligence, CIA. He had been a Super Spook. You know, and, I mean, as I said, if you were ranked, he says I'd be off the charts as a general. I mean, generals answered to him. But he ended up at the NSA as a think tank Super Spook. And some of the stories I've heard and understood are unreal. But he said there's 200,000 of them registered with the NSA and has been. And that's under the 1952 to 2012 alien agreement extended. That was after the aliens approached us after World War II. And it ties to another name that Joe can bring up that was the Admiral, et cetera, that was tied to all that and exposed a lot of it. But here's the point. This shit's been going on for a lot of years here on the human planet, thousands of years. But we're now seeing it with this agreement because this alien technology that Ed Slade developed for him as a U.S. scientist and Otis knew about and others, Preston James has written about it, John Coleman knew about the bigger picture. This stuff people don't understand, and they need to really look at this closely because it's affecting everyone now. It's not just affecting a few people of the past and whistleblowers and different patriots that were awake back in the 1980s and 90s and so forth that I'm aware of, 2000 and et cetera, and the ones that gained from all these major events. More people get awakened when there's a 9/11 or an Oklahoma City bombing or whatever. They start investigating, looking at it, and it opens up people's eyes. What we have today is what Joe has explained. It's a new world order. It's satanic-based. It's satanic-driven. And they are bent on getting rid of two-thirds and plus of mankind over the next 2 to 3 years. And there's some very interesting prophecies that are in the Bible. Or things that have been said by Christ that are still intact, and it tells you how to live your life and all the other stuff in Proverbs and Psalms and the different ones. But in the book of Revelation, 13, 16, 19, Matthew, there's a lot of stuff that is happening right now that are being fulfilled, and it ties to dispensationalism and a lot of other stuff that is man trying to fulfill. And if people really look at the bigger picture and analyze this, we're all in a world of crap. They got everybody hooked up with your cell phones. They know everything that you are doing and what you are even thinking. Thinking. Is that about right, Joe?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You have what is called psychotronics. And if you, for those of you that are new to this, if you just go back into YouTube, you can see some of the series by Jesse Ventura called Conspiracy Theory. And he goes over many of the points that we're talking about now. Now, there is one other group that's going to come along that don't hear too much about, but it's there. And I'm going to go back here for a little bit and... This comes from Ed Slade and Bill Hopkins. What happened was that the aliens made contact with the upper echelon of the Nazi Party, mainly General Crommel, who had a paramilita, but many of the super, super secret scientific experiments were going on like rocketry. What happened was, is that the aliens gave to this group a paramilita anti-gravity machines. This was before World War II. Now, this is according to Ed Slade and William Hopkins. So I'm not making this up. But what they did was, they taught them how to fly it. They didn't back engineer it. They said, here it is, and we're going to teach you to fly it, and we're going to teach you and how to make one. And so that entire group, beginning around 1938, 1937, made their way down to the Antarctica good place called Schwabenland. That's what the Germans named it. They were invited by the aliens. As William Tompkins said, there is a giant underground hive as big as the state of California, which is a center of these fallen angel aliens and their allies. So these Germans, 2 million of them, went down there. That means workers. That is, they did all of their genetic experiments and created that body, which would be allowed to be possessed. And so now we have another group that is as powerful as the Jewish cabal, and they have the technology, both groups do. They are combined. Think of the six-pointed star and imprinted on the Nazi symbol. And that is the new, that is the religion. Bradley, folks, this is the new symbol, and it's going to be very hints. In other words, they have the high technology, they have the personnel, and it is the new kid on the block that is part of that fallen angel alien cabal. I think that's the best way to look at it.
Now look.
Alien cabal, yeah.
That's a good name to say for it, Joe. Now, let's look at the communications. As an example, an Israeli company owns the United States government's phone system. They supply it, rent it to them. They rent the internet system to them that the United States government uses, and all the secret stuff and all the other under Department of Defense, every place else. As an example, the Israeli Jewish Crime Syndicate in Denver, Larry Mizell, doing cyber attacks against Stu Webb. And on the top of the internet site, it says cyber attacks against Stu Webb, or cyber attacks against Webb. Click on that link and scroll down to near the bottom where I first posted Mizell after shut down his network. Because a ton of them, 90% of them, are coming from him. Some finance company, yes. Take a look at it. This is Larry Mizell cyber attacks. Why is he using the Department of Defense emails, network, and their servers? Why is a private Jewish crime syndicate out of Denver, one of these 12 disciples of Satan, that if you look at the other video of the trading Silverado Savings, they owned it. If you look at it, why is he using, committing treason, sedition, using our system? Why is this allowed? That's some question I'd ask Fred to listen to this radio program. Now, they own and control this, but our underground base is Bluffdale, Utah. At Otis Johnson, if you punch in Otis Johnson, you'll listen to that, or scroll down the radio bar. And I stuck, the only time I recorded him, 13 minutes or 18 minutes worth, and I mentioned to him about, or he mentioned to me about, yeah, I'm going back out there. Now, General Flynn, I put him on the air, at the airport in Grand Island once when I was working on his house up there, and he went out to Bluffdale first time. But he went out and he mentioned Bluffdale, and he mentioned the fact that they're going to have chips in the toasters. They'll be able to watch you and see you and hear everything that you're doing. And he mentions his private corporations. Now, he went to Bluffdale. He came back, he said, six floors below ground, artificial intelligence, beyond computers. Now look at that video that's up there, says Silverado drug money, BlackRock. That's an example of artificial intelligence, but six floors of it. And he says, Stu, you're right, there's an alien base on the south side. Alien base. And he says, they built a concentration camp, all barbed wire, fencing. He says, and stuck it out in the south. He said, now I-70 ends where it comes out of on the south side. And Richfield, Utah is the entry, a point that goes in the south side of the alien base. Now, Richfield is about 60 miles, I think, or 45 miles east of where I-70 ends in Utah and connects to, I think it's 95 there. Or not 95, but what is that, Joe?
I'd have to look at a map.
I forgot. But
I think it is 95.
Yeah, but it goes down through there. But right there in the south east corner, he said it was about 2 miles, 3 miles in. They built a concert, all this barbed wire and everything to hold 1 million people. Put them in the alien base. What are the aliens going to do with them?
Let me help you out on this, Steve, so the listeners have a good idea. Think of a line from, think of Salt Lake City. To the southwest, not very far, is Bluffville. You draw a straight line down, and you will hit Richfield. Draw a straight line further south, and you will get to Kanab. Go to the west and look at Colorado City and Hillsdale. Now let's back this up. Where Stu saw in the distance behind Richfield, he could see the laser lights reflecting off the ionosphere, and we knew that that is where they were building an underground base. But further, if you go further straight into there is Best Friends. Now, Best Friends is supposing itself as a animal-friendly society to help railroad animals, but wrong. It is a genetic place where they can take animals and do their genetic experiments. For what reason? To change a human body so that it can be possessed. Now, if you go west of there, to Hillsdale in Colorado City, it is a Mormon community in which there is over 10,000 people. Very few people moved in, but there was a lot of experiments done at Colorado City on the kids. In other words, genetic experiments. Now, if you go straight back up, you will get Hillsdale. Not Hillsdale, but Bluffville. And then you will go further up, or rather west of there, you get Dugway, Hills Air Force Base, Deseret, and what John Lear said, Wendover, where they have anti-gravity machines. So that whole area in there is loaded. Volunteer alien, their lives, and genetic experiments, and anti-gravity machines.
Now, you know, that's one of the alien underground communications. And Joe, I'm glad you pointed all that out, because I want to bring something back up. Beatty, Nevada, kids, the aliens.
Nevada, not Beatty, Beatty.
Beatty, Nevada. But I had a pilot fly, his name is damn computer company guy that built a casino or a bar casino type thing there in Las Vegas, on the lower end of the strip down there by the pyramid, Luxor. Anyway, the point is, he transported him out there, Packard. It was a Packard, what's the name of it? Something Packard company. It was one of the two of them. He transported him out by helicopter to this warehouse in Beatty. What's it called, Joe?
Beatty, Nevada.
Beatty, Nevada. And it's south, or it's northwest of Las Vegas, up the highway. A bunch of warehouses out there, a few warehouses. Took him out there and landed the aircraft. There's a helicopter. He told him to be a little while. So about a half an hour later, he's kind of getting anxious and stuff, and he shut the helicopter down. And he goes up the door and knocks on the door. He says, the guy opens up the door, some big guy. And he says, he looks in there, and he says, full of kids. He says, anywhere from about a year and a half old, he says, on up to probably 8, 9 years of age, all naked, in there. And this guy had gone in there. Well, when I mentioned this to Otis, he told me that's where they're transporting the kids. He was aware of a lot of things, get him killed. but that's where they were transporting kids that were kidnapped in the United States, taken there to be supplied to the aliens at Papoose Lake, Nevada, which is up the road from Groom Lake, which is also known as Area 51 and Area 52. Now, that's where Ed Slade worked, was Papoose Lake, Nevada, the U.S. scientist, the one that built the special toy for Mr. Johnson when he became president after Kennedy was murdered, wanted something he could mow any, all the audience around him in case they tried to kill him because he was afraid it was the CIA that did the hit on Kennedy. Anyway, just short, long story. Now, the secret underground bases are Cheney Reservoir in Wichita, Kansas, Bluffdale, Utah. Let's see, Atlanta, Georgia, down there, Atlanta has one. Virginia has one. And Washington has one. South Dakota has one. Nebraska has one. Outside Omaha. Let's see, where else we got? Seattle has one. Southern California has one. Those are basic bases. They're all tied to the phone system hooked up to the United States government and its internet system controlled by the Israeli Mossad, Israeli private company, and all. It was also tied years back to the Clintons and the Clinton crowd, many of the people that were involved in the phone system. Now, how much infiltration is that, folks? That's espionage by Israel and his companies and private U.S. companies, financials doing business with DOD computers. That's espionage. But if you look at the overall picture, they're controlling all the companies. They're controlling 98% of the economies of the world. They're in control of the banks. Just like, you know, in Denver controls the world's largest HSBC. It's always in trouble for narcotics money laundering. And you've got the robot, if you look at, that I told you about, Silverado Savings, BlackRock, drug money. Click on that. Look at that robot. Well, they're the largest bank now. They just took over the U.S. Treasury. So they're in control of all this money, and they want you chipped so you die. They want to get rid of you. They're stealing your house. They come in and buy your house for how much, Joe, you mentioned earlier, you know, 20, 50, 100,000 more, but end up, you're out on the streets. What's their real intent, Joe?
It says, Klaus Schwab said, you will own nothing. You will have nothing of regular food. You will eat bugs and insects. And human tissue. They have already in California, in Los Angeles, two restaurants that you can eat human tissue.
You've talked about that before, and that's I've looked into that. That's real.
Now, what Stu was talking about, that's what I'm doing here, is showing you where the underground power events are going on. Underground with high technology. And as Ed Slade said, we have been on the moon since 1962. We have been on Mars since 1968. How did that happen and who did it? Well, the aliens aided certain sections of the military job, and that's how we got to the moon and back and to Mars and back. Let's see if I can remember Ben Rich, who was the CEO of Lockheed Martin, a big defense contractor, still is to this day, was asked the question on his at his deathbed, what about UFOs? And he said, We have been out to the stars and back and everything in between. In other words, the aliens with their genetic allies have a cabal in which they have been in space. Everything out into the stars and back again. As a matter of fact, I witnessed myself and I've said this on one other program, but where I've witnessed UFOs fighting each other. I saw it. I witnessed it. And I was not seeing things. So what we're pointing to is that even with beating Nevada, if you go from beating Nevada, you go over into what we what is the Great Valley Mountains, the Pure Mountains, and Death Valley. And right just below Death Valley is China Lake, where a lot of this high technology took place. It has its adjoining weapons center. Then next to that is Fort Irwin. Then all the way down to the Marine Corps Air Ground Combat Center. You have all the way down to Joshua Tree, where you have on the Cabazon Indian Reservation, which students told a mini story of, concerning computers that took place on the Cabazon Indian Reservation. And then you have the you have Yuma Training Station, where a lot of experiments went on. And so we have this high technology, which is the good guy, which is the bad guy, who knows.
And then you've got the Argo Tunnel to the west of Denver, Colorado, up I-70, Idaho Springs, Colorado. First exit, you take it south, only way it goes and back up. And that's the entrance down there in the Argo Tunnel. You see a gravel road off the side. That's where trucks go in. It's a Western White House, Western Capitol, buildings inside for all the different agencies. And a lot of them enter into that through the Kiplinger exit in Denver, Colorado on Highway 6. About 3:30 is a traffic jam, and federal cops are out there, and local cops keeping everybody from moving except for all the traffic out of the hole. And if you look at the hole, you can't even see their, where they're coming out from underneath. But they got a half a dozen cars sitting up on top, but all of a sudden you got this traffic jam, and you'll sit there for half an hour waiting for them to empty out the shift. That's the Argo Tunnel. Now, Dick Cheney hid out there when he was vice president a lot. And where he was hiding was at the Adams Mart Hotel in the Denver Tech Center, they call it. And the Adams Mart was owned by Leonard Millman, my ex-witch doctor's father at the time, now Larry Mizell controls it. But on the top, the presidential suite, they get in the elevator, and all they do is open up the phone, and they punch in a code, and it goes to the subfloor, which then goes to a big open concrete area that you have to be fingerprinted and eye printed and all that. Then it opens up, and then there's somebody waiting there to whisk off the vice president to go to the vice president's office at the secret underground. Now, the Argo Tunnel goes to the center of the earth. Now, there's a sun inside the center of the earth because in Operation Blue Book, two U.S. Air Force jets were ordered to chase a couple flying saucers in the North Pole, which there used to be up on YouTube, a KGB video showing how the ocean goes in the North Pole. He flew inside, chasing saucers, saw the sun, and said it looked like Garden of Eden, turned around because their gauges weren't working and followed the path back out. And they made their operation, or wrote the report, because I saw it in Otis Johnson's file cabinet. He showed it to me and explained how far advanced they were. Now, Schwabenland, you spoke of, Joe, is the South Pole, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, now, there's an admiral from World War II who chased the Nazis, who had flying saucers shooting at his and with 50 calibers, and they weren't too accurate because they were moving around, etc., that the Nazis had in the Schwabenland, South Pole. Now, Admiral Byrd went in there, came back out. He lost 2,000 men, but brought himself back out of the ship, plus another ship. And then he testified in secret before the U.S. Congress, and then later wrote a book called The Hollow Earth by Admiral Byrd. There's copies out there, or used to be, because I saw it. Now, he also went to the North Pole, didn't he, Joe?
Yes.
Explain what he saw.
He met the what is called the king of the world. These are ancient societies that kept their laws and didn't become an ally of the fallen angel alien, and they moved to. What do you have to do? And I've done this before. Think of the surface of the earth, draw a circle, then draw a smaller circle on the inside, and that distance between the inner circle and the outer circle is 850 miles thick. But it is like Swiss cheese. The area of Agartha and Telos are on the surface of that inner circle. The fallen angel alien is condemned to that space between the surface of the earth and the surface of the garden, and that 850 mile thick Swiss cheese creation. That's where they have their cities, that's where they have their undergrounds, and that is why when we say Argos, it goes from Center, Colorado, all the way down to Pikes Peak. And it is a series of huge, huge cavernous places that you have what is called the Argos apparatus. And that is where Dick Cheney would go when he would go to what is called Washington, D.C. West, and that's called the Federal Center. That is the connection to the underground. That is why Larry Mizell and the others went to Colorado, because there is a connection to that alien. Why? Because as Otis Johnson said, Leonard Melman was possessed by an alien. In other words, this is why cloning is important, because what they have, they can create a body. They don't go into the body, but they reach into the body and possess it. And that was George Herbert Walker Bush. I just need to bring this to an end, Stu.
Real quick. Now, this inner part of the earth where these isn't there a part that they're waiting to be judged by Christ? They're basically sitting down in a hole, are they not?
Okay, let's back this up, and I don't want to get too much into
okay,
it.
Okay.
This is where the book of Revelation, that's why I said read Revelation 3:16 and 19. That will kind of give you a direction of the way this is going to go. But it is the fallen angels were defeated by Christ's crucifixion, but there was a bigger battle before the time of Adam, of where the fallen angel was defeated by God's angels in the region of Alpha Centauri. They were condemned to what I call the upper third, lower fourth dimensional world. It's just over there out of our sight, but it is a totally different reality. It is real, and that is where they are now. And the little grays, the tall grays, are the ones that can go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth between these two realities. And so when you go and say that the angel is condemned to this area, that means they cannot pass into this world. However, CERN is trying to change that.
Thank you for bringing that up.
I think with that, Stuart,
CERN, explain. Okay, now you brought up, I was getting ready to bring it up, but you did. Bring up CERN real quick, what they're trying to do.
All right, all it is that they're trying to, through their science, break open this defensive magnetic reality net and break into the smaller world, or into the upper world of the third dimension.
They're trying to let these demonic beings out is what they're trying to do through the portal of CERN, super collider. They got one in Switzerland, been looking at space-time, Otis Johnson told me there's a big planet, big fireball, six times the size of the Earth, going to hit Earth before 2025, and that the two stars would hit us before that, that they couldn't stop. And that's called Wormwood and Sister in Revelation 13. With that said, Joe, thank you very much for doing the show with me.
All right, later.
Okay, have a good one. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.